Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman radio show where we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors and everything around it, everything that affects it. I want to say that this is our first Saturday. This is our first Saturday under a new administration in Washington. And we would like to congratulate our president, Donald J. Trump, on his victory. And we look forward to 4 years, at least, hopefully eight, of his leadership. And we watched his inauguration yesterday, his swearing in. And so it was a glorious day. We're just thankful for all that. And the peaceful transition of power in Washington, D.C. is a ceremony. It's a thing to behold. And hopefully you had a chance to watch it or watch the rerun or something. So it's a new day in America. Anyway, I just had to get that off my chest there for a little bit. We're not going to get into the politics of Washington today. We might a little bit in Maryland, but, you know, that's all going to regard what we do in the outdoors, fishing, hunting, and so forth. But we're really going to turn the show over to you guys today, our listening audience. We've got a couple things going on. We've got deer season for bow hunters. We've got winter turkey season, in effect. And we've got waterfowl season. So we've got somebody out there on the highway going somewhere to participate in one of those events. And if you're on the highway or just sitting at home listening, feel free to give us a call here. It's a very easy number to remember. It's the call letters of the station, WCBM, and our location on the dial, 680. So it's 410 WCBM 680 or 410-922-6680 for the alphabetically challenged. We can deal with that as well, 922-6680. Now, if you're on a landline, and you're sitting at home and you're outside the local Baltimore calling area, it's a toll call from your house. Well, it's not a toll call here to this show. It's 800-WCBM-680, 800-WCBM-680. We do have a couple tickets available for the Great American Outdoor Show. That's the Harrisburg show. And some information on that coming up here later when we do our commercials. We'll tell you a little bit about that. So we just are awaiting your phone calls. Pretty simple. Give us a call, and we'll talk about any subject you want to talk about. I had two deer in the yard yesterday. Now, these are suburban deer. These deer have been around for a while. Now, I couldn't tell if this was the big giant doe that's been there for a while or if it was one of her offspring or even another deer with her fawn, which was a doe fawn from this year. So I suspect it was a maybe 2.5-year-old doe with a fawn of this year in my yard, and they were bedded down, and they were there for 3 hours yesterday, and then they walked over and annihilated the buds on my azaleas. So that's all good. And at no time were they more than about 35 yards from me. What did you say? Kill them, Chris? You know, let him eat. Let him eat. But the doe had suffered some type of an injury, some type of a break above the ankle in her right front foot. She was actually any time she put weight on it, the foot itself, the hoof itself was bent under, and she was putting all the weight on the wrist of that leg. So kind of sad to watch, but didn't seem to affect her in any way. Whether she'll lose that, it doesn't. I don't know. It had some type of ring of fur up around the above the injury. So I don't know if it was a break or just what it was. It was an interesting thing to watch anyway. So definitely has lost the use of that hind right hoof. So anyway, neighbors came home and the deer were along my fence and I said, hey, there's deer right over there by the fence. I'm getting in my truck. I've got to go. And I can't just not go and worry about the deer. So I go out, and we're talking to the neighbor back and forth, and the deer there looking at us, you know, 20 yards away. And that's kind of interesting. They've been very acclimated to the neighborhood. And then my neighbor says, oh, yeah, I saw a great big buck in my yard. And he held his hands up about, you know, 2 feet high. He had a great big set of antlers. I'm like, okay. My neighbor directly across the street. So there have been at least two bucks in the neighborhood for a long time. So I'm glad they haven't gotten run over on Liberty Road, as is often the case. Folks, I'm not going to talk here all morning. I've got plenty that I could talk about, but 410-922-6680 is our phone number. So later on today, those of you in Talbot County and those of you who hunt in Talbot County should be surprised, or shouldn't be surprised, to hear that there's a meeting today at 4 o'clock. It is a public work group session for 4 p.m. today to discuss proposed deer management legislation for Talbot County and the Eastern Shore. Delegate Johnny Motz is holding this meeting, and Johnny said that we're trying to think outside of the box and come up with ideas that won't get down in controversy here in Annapolis. Too late, Johnny. There are arguments on all different sides and ideologies about who should be able to hunt when. I don't want to argue with any of those. I understand where they come from, but I just want to find some results for the citizens. Okay. Fair enough. You want to take in everyone's concerns and make sure you come up with the best fit so we can fix the problem, he said. We definitely have a problem, and we definitely have to do something about it. Well, first of all, what's the problem, Johnny? What's the problem? Well, here's what he said. Deer management has been a challenge, not just throughout Talbot County, but the whole Eastern Shore. Not only does an uncontrollable deer population affect farmers by eating their crops, whoop, there's where it is, but also regular homeowners, and they're a big threat to drivers, he said. Just about every day there's another deer on the side of the road. I hit one this year, and it was very expensive, and I lost my vehicle for a couple of weeks. It's the same just about everywhere you go on the shore with the population. So, are you ready for the proposals? Well, after we talk to Mark, we'll find out, and then I may have some commentary for the delegate. Actually, there's a picture of the delegate and Robin on the Maryland Hunting Coalition Facebook page. We did go to a fundraiser early on for Johnny, and hey, Mark, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. What's going on?
Well, I'm not going to get all political on you, but it was a glorious day. That was a perfect way to describe it. Yesterday was just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Brought some dignity back to the office, I believe.
A real class act.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens. And, man, I couldn't wait for that helicopter to get out of town. I don't know why.
I was talking to a friend, and I said, this is going to be a wonderful sight to see the back of those people.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So, well, you know, it's a different world in Washington. I only worked there for 8 months, but that whole community down there is a special place, let me tell you. And it's when you get a little bit on the inside, just a little bit, just, you know, just get a tiny peek behind the curtain like I did, your eyes are wide open. And it's a very interesting place. Let's just say that. And I don't know how to describe it, quite frankly. It's just a unique opportunity that I had to work there for a while, and to rub shoulders with some of these delegates and senators. And I tell you, some of them weren't that smart. They're really not. I mean, they're really, really not that smart. And
what they lack in intelligence to make up for in raw ambition.
Well, that's part of it. But you've got people who are barely able to put sentences together, you know, being appointed to offices above their station. And it's the primary, if anybody's ever heard of the Peter Principle, I mean, that's the ultimate Peter Principle location in the country is the halls of the Senate and the House in Washington, D.C. And the Peter Principle, basically, in rough language, it's you advance to up the ladder of success to the level of your incompetence and achieve it, you know. So it's scary sometimes. So hopefully we've got some smart people in there, and, you know, we have a new leader at the Pentagon and a new leader in Homeland Security. So hopefully we can put some confidence in that.
Well, God willing, and I mean that literally,
exactly.
We're going to be in much better shape than we've been for 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great relief.
Yes, indeed. So
it's the first time I've been hopeful in 8 years.
I share that. A lot of people share that. That's why they were up and down the parade route. And, you know, it was kind of funny. They were really lowballing the number on the people that attended yesterday, and there was X amount for the previous president's first inauguration and X amount for his second inauguration. But we don't think this crowd's going to be nearly as large. I'll tell you something. There's a lot of freaking people in Washington, man.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
And the media is going to be that way.
Oh, sure.
I just don't care what they say because I don't trust them.
Mm-mm. So, anyway, well, what else is new with you?
Not a lot.
Yeah. Busy time of year for you, though.
Yeah, well, things are getting busy, but how things look in Annapolis right now?
You know, it's kind of quiet. It's kind of quiet, but we suspect that it's going to be raucous here in a couple weeks. I mean, everybody first couple weeks is like, oh, hey, welcome back. You know, pat each other on the back, that type of thing. And then, boy, when the committee meetings start in about a week or so, you know, it's going to get rancorous for sure. And, you know, at the end of the session, everybody's ready to strangle everybody. That's the way it goes, you know. But we have a couple things up our sleeve, and we're just kind of waiting. We're not going to, I mean, obviously, if this bill that Johnny Motz is talking about shows up, we're going to have to defend against that. And, you know, we know the Farm Bureau is looking at some stuff. We know that the Horse Council has already said they're going to try and repeal all the Sunday hunting dates again and replace it with something else. So, you know, we're just watching and waiting. But we're ready, you know.
Yeah, we're ready.
We got suckered into a meeting last year with the people who were involved in Sunday hunting, and we hammered out agreement that everybody agreed to, and you know, all the participants around the table, and we were the first ones to step up and respond back to DNR and said, yeah, we're good with this legislative language, and we did, and the Bowhunter Society did, and the Wildlife Advisory Committee did. And then we didn't hear from the Maryland Horse Council for another month. And we never heard from the fox chasers, who were all at the table. So, and the Farm Bureau even weighed in and said they were in agreement with the proposal. And a month later, the Farm Bureau decided, hey, we don't like this. I mean, not the Farm Bureau, the Horse Council decided that even though we negotiated in bad faith, apparently, at the table, we're going to do our own thing, and here's what it is. And the result was Senate Bill 1061, which we call the 1030 bill. And we understand they're going to come back with that again this year, but we haven't seen it yet. What that simply said was, sure, we'll open the entire state up for Sunday hunting days. We'll give DNR authority, a regulatory authority, but in all the muzzleloader and firearms days, Sundays now, you've got to stop at 10 or 10:30 in the morning on Sundays.
Huh.
You can only hunt till 10 o'clock. Well, I think this time of year, the evenings, you know, are far better.
Yeah.
But, you know, it had nothing to do with deer management. It had everything to do with, well, you go ahead and shoot your little deer by 10 o'clock in the morning and then get the hell out of the woods so we can ride our horses and chase our foxes. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, they've kind of pledged to come back with that, so we'll see what happens.
Well, forewarned is forearmed.
Forewarned is forearmed,
and you can't say what you put out there
in the form of a letter. Okay, we'll take it at your word, and we'll be ready for you. So we are
good.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mark. It's a good day to be an American.
Thank God, and I mean that literally.
Exactly. Talk to you later, buddy.
Have a good one.
All right, see you.
Bye bye.
Mr. Chuck in Alabama, how are you?
Good morning, sir. Yes, it is a great day to be an American.
Yes, it is. So, how are things in the heart of Dixie?
Warm.
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 And you're down there on a special hunt, I think you told us, with
PCBA Alabama whitetail hunt, first one.
So this is the physically challenged bow hunters of America.
Yep.
And from what you were telling me yesterday and texting me, somebody shot a deer yesterday.
Yes, Dalton, he's right here with me.
Oh, good.
Turn you over to him shortly.
Okay.
Dirk, who we had on last summer, is the one that has organized it. He's did a great job.
Dirk is the guy who's legally blind.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Say hi, Dirk.
Hello, Dirk. Good morning.
Degrees this morning at 4 o'clock.
No, I missed it. What did he say?
67 degrees at 4 o'clock.
Oh, that's great. That's great hunting time. Yeah, got it.
But here I'm going to hand the phone over to Dalton. He's sitting here right next to me.
Okay.
And, he's all yours.
Okay, great.
Dalton, this is Alan.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Dalton, how are you, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Good, congratulations.
Thank you.
Is that your first deer?
That's my second.
Second deer. Okay. Well, good. That's good.
But his first with a crossbow. He hadn't shot the crossbow until Wednesday.
Oh, really? So you got a little training on the crossbow and sealed the deal the other day, yesterday, huh?
Because he was dead eye at 50 yards on Thursday at the range.
50 yards. That's a nice shot with a crossbow. That's for sure. So, all right. That's the background. Dalton, tell me about the hunt. Hello?
I'm still here.
Tell me about your hunt.
It's fun. We had a great time being in the outdoors, seeing a bunch of different kind of animals and
mm-hmm.
getting to shoot a deer. And
So what happened? I mean, you know, the deer didn't fall out of the sky. Were you watching a bunch of deer or what happened? Tell me what happened.
It was almost dark.
Mm-hmm.
We get to dark, and two deer walked up behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And it come up, and I had a good shot, but the safety was off.
Uh-oh.
And I went to put it on, and they ran off.
Uh-huh.
My dad blew a grunter and got them back up there.
So you called them back in, huh? That's pretty cool.
Yes, sir. And I shot her from 30 yards away.
Nice job. Do you care to share about your physical challenge with our listeners?
Yeah, I have one arm.
Huh?
I have one arm, and I lost it when I was about 3 years old.
I see. Okay. And now, is this your trigger finger, or is this the arm you hold the stock with?
Both.
He lost it in a lawnmower accident when he was three.
Right.
So he's a little bit any other way really.
Yeah, I understand that, but I said, was it the arm he holds the stock with or the trigger arm? And he said both.
Hold it on both sides.
He's left-handed.
Oh, so. Left. Yeah.
Okay. So you're left-handed. But I don't know which arm you're missing. Sorry.
My right one.
Your right arm. Okay. So you're left-handed. So how do you work the crossbow? Tell me that story.
My dad pulled it back.
No, I understand that. Okay. But when you pick it up and aim it, do you put it on sticks or and then just pull it?
I sit in a tree stand most of the time.
Right.
Railing, and I set the crossbow on the railing.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Very good. And then you shoot it left-handed.
Yes, sir.
Are you right eye or left eye dominant? Do you look through the scope with your left eye or your right eye?
My left eye.
Left eye. So it's all left hand, left. Anyway, that's good. That's good, because some people are cross, you know, they have to make adjustments from right eye dominant, left eye dominant, that type of thing. But look, long story short is, you're a young man, you're hunting in Alabama, you shot your second deer this year. Congratulations, and what do you think about the PCBA?
I think it was really nice that they invited me out here to come on an amazing hunt and kill deer.
Got it. Where's home?
Andalusia
what?
Alabama.
Andalusia, Alabama.
Yeah.
Got it.
He's a local youngster.
Local guy. Got it. All right. Well, very good. Chuck, listen, you have a good time down there. I guess it's going to be your turn sometime this weekend.
you got a good chuckle out of John Fraud. He's hitting here too, so.
All right. Well, let's see what happens, and I'm sure you'll let me know.
Alan, thanks a lot for having us on with you this morning, but I'm still trying to get that alligator hunt set up with my wife.
And what is her role again?
What is her role again?
He's going to sit on the bow of the boat and bark like a dog so the alligator will come up to me.
She's going to dangle her feet over the end of the pirogue, huh?
Right.
Oh, man. All right, you guys. You're having too much fun too early in the morning.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good hunting. It's what happens when you get in camp, you know? It's what happens when you get in camp. So it is. Hey, the Great American Outdoor Show coming to February. Coming in February 4th through the 12th to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's the world's largest consumer outdoor show, a nine-day event celebrating hunting and fishing and outdoor traditions, exhibitors and events that span 650,000 square feet with over 1,100 exhibitors. You'll find everything you need to enjoy the outdoors. It's the Great American Outdoor Show, February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg. Now, the NRA Country Concert at the Great American Outdoor Show features Dustin Lynch and Granger Smith with special guest Tara Thompson. That's Saturday, February 11th. Doors open at 6:30. For more details and tickets, go to greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. That's greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600 square foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash,
Get to the battery warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Your hands start shaking, your heart gets to pumping, your knees get to knocking, and your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? Buck fever, gonna get you, boy. Buck fever, have you praying to the Lord. That rap, that grunt, that stare, that stomp will make you a believer. And buck fever.
Buck fever, all right. Had that before. All right. So here's we're back to Johnny Motz on the Eastern Shore. There's a meeting at 4 o'clock today, and it's at let's see, where is the meeting? It's at the Y Oak Room of the Talbot County Community Center on Ocean Gateway in Easton, which is, I believe, the ice skating rink. 4 o'clock. So here's where we're going. Here's where Delegate Johnny Motz has gone with Talbot County and the Eastern Shore deer population. The first proposal originated from the Farm Bureau. That's never usually good news, because the Farm Bureau believes that our magnificent and robust deer herd in Maryland, I believe at their 2015 annual meeting, declared deer as vermin. Vermin. Their contention is that the grain prices are so low that they can't possibly afford to lose another mouthful of corn or soybeans to any animal damage, and of course the deer get the blame. It's never the squirrels, damn squirrels. It's never the raccoons, damn raccoons. It's never the birds. It's always the deer. Okay? Always the deer. So here's the first proposal originated from the Farm Bureau, would allow holder of a crop damage permit or a deer management permit, DMP is what it's called, who's received a shooter proficiency card from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, to harvest deer with a rifle on their property in Talbot County. Okay? Here's what Delegate Mott said. Farmers in particular looking for any way they can to improve their ability to manage the population. Let me substitute manage the population with kill more deer. Let's just scratch manage the population and say kill more deer. He said, we're not harvesting the number of deer that we need to. And why not? Let's look at that question. Farmers are underutilizing crop damage permits. They only use about a third of what they are issued. A lot of farmers will not allow hunters on their property. And those that do, well, that lease their property to deer hunters, don't require that these guys kill, to manage their deer population.
Okay, the hunters, and I'm not casting any stones here, but the hunters want the bucks. That's what they want. And so it's not written into the lease that, the, you know, you've got to kill five does before you can kill a buck or, you know, that type of thing, which could easily be done as a condition of the lease. Okay, if you can get on it all, you're going to pay a lot of money, so you want to get your value out of your money and you want to kill a big buck. Okay, and you know, you don't want to be, I'm paying you, you know, $8,000-$10,000 to lease this farm. What do you mean I got to screw around with does? Just saying. So the farmers are, you know, they're very stingy with their property for the most part as far as allowing recreational hunters to harvest deer. And you know, they're right. They're farmers. They can do what they want with their own land. Farmers in particular are looking for any way they can to improve the ability to kill more deer. He said, we're not harvesting the number of deer that we need to. And the farmers, they're frustrated because they don't have an afternoon to be able to go out and hunt. They just want to be able to harvest a deer, so they're trying to find the most efficient means of doing that. They don't have an afternoon to do it. So give them a rifle, see a deer, run out, shoot it, done. Throughout the years, there have been various efforts in the legislature to allow Sunday hunting in different counties throughout the Eastern Shore as a means of managing the deer population. Mott said there's so many different Sunday hunting proposals, it's hard to keep track. Really? We have to keep track. Merrill Hunting Coalition keeps track. Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife and Heritage Service keeps track. They publish it in a book every year. We've come up with this hodgepodge of when you can or can't hunt. The average hunter doesn't know when you can or can't hunt. One day you could hunt with a rifle in Caroline County, but you couldn't hunt with a rifle in Dorchester or even Talbot. Well, that's probably true. Thanks to the Maryland Horse Council, who has opposed Sunday hunting in every respect, individual jurisdictions are forced to act on their own, as they should, to decide what is best for their counties. And if you give total control of Sunday hunting to the Department of Natural Resources, what happens when you have an incoming anti-hunting administration like the Glendenning administration, who vetoed the first Sunday hunting legislation that was passed in the General Assembly? What happens if you have an administration like that that comes in who now has total charge of the Department of Natural Resources and says, hey, I don't like Sunday hunting. Governor says, I don't like Sunday hunting. Make it go away. What is the Secretary of the DNR to do? He serves at the governor's behest. So Sunday hunting goes away. But here we have about 25 or so different laws passed through local legislation that ensure the longevity of hunting in the counties where those bills were passed. Some of the counties out west have given authority to DNR to regulate the systems, and they've got a lot of Sundays. Could that change? It sure could. In a flash, in a signature, it could change. Okay? But when you've got something written in law in your county, it's more difficult to overturn that, and it's not at the whim of a potentially unfriendly to hunting administration. I hope you're understanding this, because this is the deals we have to talk about every day. So here's Johnny Motz's other proposal to expand hunting firearm season 2 weeks at the beginning of November. The current firearm season starts the last Saturday in November, he said. Under the proposal, January would also be a firearm season for deer, all January. So here's what you got. Mott proposes this to be a five-year program, at the end of which the legislature would have to make it permanent or make changes to it depending on the impact to the deer herds. The work group on the deer management proposals is planned for 4 p.m. Saturday today, January 21st, in the White Oak Room of the Talbot County Community Center, Ocean Gateway East, and that's Route 50. Representatives from Maryland Department of Natural Resources and the Talbot County Farm Bureau will be in attendance. And a copy of the proposed legislation may be viewed on the Talbot County government website, talbotcountymd.gov, and you can contact Johnny Motz's office if you want the number. You'll have to call me and ask for it. Anyone require communications assistance or additional information? So, bow hunters, on the Mid-Shore and across the state. Do you really want to see a two-week firearms deer season beginning in November? First of all, this goes against every reasonable deer management decision, and it goes against science, okay? First 2 weeks of the breeding season. Now, yes, you've whacked on them with a muzzleloader, but you get one shot in October to take your deer. One shot, okay? The 2 weeks of the rut have been honored by not only deer managers here in the Northeast, as the rut, which allows those deer to breed pretty much unhindered. They're only pursued by bow hunters at that time. You start shooting at them with a firearm, forget the rest of the season. Forget the late deer season opener in December. My sense is to give the deer a chance to breed, okay, and then you take your chances. Now, to open it up all of January, here's what you've got. You've got does that are pregnant, 2 months pregnant, 60 days pregnant. They're in their first trimester, of course. And, you know, there's a lot of management programs out there that, like Howard County, Montgomery County, that manage their overabundant deer populations on their own lands. Okay. And they run into January, sometimes into February, and it's to bring that deer herd into some sense of reason in a suburban setting. Okay. So then you've got the other issue where the bucks are shedding their antlers. So this is the same situation that happened in Charles and St. Mary's County. They extended the deer firearm season 7 days a week to the end of March. And guess what? The guys didn't hunt it. I think they killed in the entire, there's two counties. I think they took maybe 300 deer, something like that, antlerless deer in two counties over 3 months. It's not a lot of deer, okay? So, Delegate Motz, you know, we like you. We know you try to be friendly to hunters, but we have to see how much traction your proposals are going to get. And I'm going to guess that the Wildlife and Heritage Service is going to oppose that two-week early firearm season. If it's not, then it's time for the hunters of Maryland to make their voices heard. This little vignette that I just read to you is on the Maryland Hunting Coalition Facebook page, alerting people that this meeting is coming up. We invite your comments. And here's the funny part. When I pulled this up at the newspaper, okay, the newspaper article, zero comments. You know, you can comment on an article, zero. Zero, which tells me that hunters don't necessarily read the newspaper. They don't. They just don't. They'll pick up the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, something like that. But we're just a non-responsive group. Why is that? There's a question for you. Why is that? Why don't we learn? Why don't we understand? Why don't we get it that, you know, what we have had is not necessarily what we can keep? Okay. I don't see any mention of representatives from the hunting community talking to Johnny Motz. The only reference here to anything I see is farmers talking to Johnny Motz. Okay? Farmers. 410 WCDM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Love to hear your comments. I'm surprised the phone isn't ringing, but I'm not really. We're in some kind of a lull here. In our, I'm not sure if it's post election, if it's post hunting season. We're in some type of a. Here, Chris is almost asleep himself. We're in some kind of a trance here in the hunting community. We really are. And, you know, the General Assembly's meeting, it's a time to be looking, to be, you know, voicing your opinion, to be reaching out, and it's quiet as a, I don't know, it's quiet. It's quiet out there. We're not getting a lot of comments on our Facebook. We're not getting any emails. You know, we're getting a few guys, hey, what are you guys doing this year? What are you doing for us this year? What are we doing for you? Well, what are you doing for yourself? What are you doing for yourself? Are you going to this local meeting that affects Talbot, Dorchester County, and the rest of the state in Talbot today? Are you going? Are we going to let the Farm Bureau and the Horse Council dictate our deer management plan here in Maryland? You hunters have a voice, you know. We're 100,000 strong. We're the ones that finance the Wildlife and Heritage Service. Those are public service that work for us. We're the ones that provide the revenue. Not the Horse Council, not the Farm Bureau, the hunters. So you're letting others take over the deer management that you hold so precious and turn it into a killing spree for farmers, to benefit farmers. A killing spree in November, the first 2 weeks. A killing spree down on the farm. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Doing well, dear.
Good. Well, I was going to talk about one thing, but then you started talking about this, and you know how I feel about people not speaking out.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, let me tell you, hunters strike me, for the most part, as being a kind of a mind-your-own-business kind of people.
No, they are, indeed. Yeah.
But see, this is their business. This is their you know, something that they do from the heart.
Yep.
They do for the freezer. I mean, the guys talk, and, you know, I start getting jealous a little bit because I have meat in the freezer, thank God, but I don't have the meat you guys got.
Right.
And you go, oh, I got to put some meat in the freezer. You know,
yep.
And I thought, I want to do that, you know, be
sure.
able to do it on my own.
Yep.
And I speak out, and I'm not even hunting, you know, yet. But it's just that I know from my personal experience in living in this world, you do have to fight for what you want. It's not something they figure, oh, the deer's out there, I'll just go hunting, you know, when I want. But there are people that are working diligently to see that you don't do it the way you used to do it, that you don't do it like you would like to do it. And if you don't fight now, your future generations are going to have very little say and very little pleasure and not as much meat in their freezer. So I'm just saying, and they've hurt me before, you know, if you don't fight for what you want. My father used to tell me, the world doesn't owe you anything. They don't owe you nothing. And you have to demand what you want, take what you want, fight for what you want. And I'm telling you, it's going to change drastically if they don't do that. You know, so.
Look, here's what people don't understand. Everybody talks about the overpopulation, the overabundance of deer. Okay? It's true. In certain areas, there are more deer than the cultural carrying capacity and the environmental carrying capacity. There's too many deer. Okay? But what the farmers have to understand, and I'm going to tell them this right now, and if you're a farmer, you can call and be mad at me if you want. You don't own the damn deer. Okay? The deer belong to the citizens of Maryland, all of us. Okay? So if a deer wanders onto your property, he's not yours. She's not yours. If you want to protect your crops, do it the right way. File for deer management permit and then go out and do it or have your agents go do it. Okay? But there's also a law in the books that says you're not allowed to waste that carcass. So you can't just shoot that animal through the guts and let him run in the woods and then, oh, I'm done with that one. I think I hit it. No. You have to follow up your shot. You have to collect the carcass, and you have to put it to use, or you're going to be charged with wanton waste. Now, when you say that to a farmer, they just look at you and smirk. Certain farmers in certain areas, not all, they just look at you and smirk. Like, oh, yeah, what do you know? Okay, you're just a hunter. You're a FUD. I'm a farmer. Well, brother, guess what? The deer population in Maryland, the number that you guys tout is $10 million in crop damage, you know, across the state. Guess what? Your harvest, your income, your total crops in Maryland is something like $500 million. Okay? Something like that, $500 million. So 2-3% lost to deer damage. Isn't there something called crop insurance? I think you have that. I really think you do. So here's what my recommendation is. Plant a couple rows around the outside of your fields. Let the deer eat it. Harvest everything else and enjoy your day in the field. And I'm not picking on farmers. I like farmers. I hunt on farms. But there are some who are rabid anti-deer advocates. It's okay if that's what you want to do. But if you don't let hunters come on your property, if you don't lease your property to hunters, you want to do it all yourself, you and your hired men, or whatever you want to do, that's fine. But then don't complain that DNR isn't doing enough, and don't complain that there's too many deer. You've made a perfect environment for those deer to come into. You got to expect it. Or the other alternative is put up a big high fence and don't let them in.
Well, oh, just to add a note about yesterday.
Yes.
Oh, man, I agree with Mark. Let me tell you, years ago, many, many years ago back, I wanted to be a fashion designer.
Right.
I was blown away with the outfits. Oh, my God. I thought, oh, Lord, class is back again.
Class is back, yeah.
Women look like ladies again. I thought, wow,
yep.
Look at this. You
gotcha.
Know. Oh, it was so exciting, you
yeah.
know, to watch the whole thing.
Hey, Fran, sorry to steal your thunder, but something you said spiked me there a little bit. So
what?
I don't know what it was. I went on a rant in your time, and I apologize for that. So.
Oh, no. Because we were on the same page.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about the same thing. You know how I am about people not showing up, not speaking up, you know.
Yeah.
So well, no, we were on the same page about that. I was listening to you, yeah.
Yep, got it.
So, all right,
dear. Well, thank you. Happy New Year to you, and I'm glad you called. Glad to hear from you.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There she goes. Clyde Sports Shop is getting up, getting ready, gearing up for fishing season. I mean, the fishing hotline is already rolling. Perch are starting to roll in this weather. That's right. Perch are starting to roll in. You're going to have to check this out all in the 24-hour fishing hotline at Clyde Sports Shop. That's 247-4 247 fish. Get your rods and reels repaired. Get your line on. Get ready to go. Get your bait. Get all your your trout fishing tackle. Get your new power bait. Get everything you need. Get your little plastic grubs. Get your crappy lures. Get all that ready because it's coming, folks. Fishing season's here, and Clyde Sports Shop is ready. You know they celebrate 60 years this year. Started 1957. 60 years this year for Clyde Sports Shop. But they are ready, and you should stop by and see what they've got. There are 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 242-6108. ClydeSports.com is the website. Fishing hotline one more time, 247-FISH.
There will be some areas of fog and also some patchy drizzle early on this Saturday, and then a cloudy sky through the afternoon. At least temperatures will run above average with a high reaching 55. Cloudy tonight with showers developing late and a low down to 45. And it's going to be a wet end of the weekend tomorrow with showers off and on through the afternoon. The high should get close to 52 degrees. And then windy with a potential for some heavy downpours into Monday as the storm moves up the coast. The high temperature on Monday reaching 54 and then dry conditions on Tuesday. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBA.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray On Bedliners. You know, Linex Spray On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did,
the Linex Bedliner, and Truck Gear Accessories. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
Attention gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com. Or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland redneck blinds dealer. Check the redneck blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680 WCPM.
I'll keep my freedom, I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes, pictures on the wall.
Well, there's the music. That sounds like the end of this hour. I think we got all the spots in, didn't we? Oh, we missed one. The NRA show, the Great American Outdoor Show. February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg. It's the world's largest consumer outdoor show. 9 days celebrating hunting, fishing, and the outdoors. Exhibitors and events that span 650,000 square feet, over 1,100 exhibitors. Great American Outdoor Show, February 4th through the 12th. And the country concert. That's February 11th at 6:30. For tickets and details, go to greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. That's greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. Be there.